grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all.
And also with you.
Let us pray. O Lord God, you teach us that without love, our actions gain nothing. Pour into our hearts your most excellent gift of love, that made alive by your Spirit, we may know goodness and peace. Through your Son, Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
You may be seated. I have a question for you, Cameron. Do you know... why don't you sit down right here so I can see you both. Do you know anybody that loves you? Mm-hmm. Who loves you?
My mom and dad.
Oh, all right.
Hi.
Madeline, does somebody love you?
My family and my dog.
Yes. Now, tell me, how do you know that your mom loves you?
Yeah, it's me.
She hugs you. How do you know your mom loves you?
She cares about you.
Okay, she cares about you. How does she show that she cares?
By, like, if you, like, grief, she would help you.
Yeah, she'd fix you up, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, when you get hurt, they make it better.
Dad.
And the dad's the same thing. How does your dad show that he loves you? Does he take you places? Does he give you things? Sometimes, I'm going to turn this around. I'm going to turn that question into another question. Do you love somebody?
Yeah.
Okay. Who do you love?
My
bear.
My family.
Okay.
My cat and my dog.
How do you show that you love your family? What do you do?
Try not to annoy them.
All right, that's a good thing, to try not to annoy them. That would be that's a very good sign of love. How do you show your family that you love them? How do you show?
I'm playing by myself.
Okay, so you kind of leave them alone.
Yeah.
Let them do their thing, and you can do your thing. That's a good thing.
Yeah,
in the Bible story today, Jesus says, this is how you know that people will know that you love me, when you love other people. So we show we love God by loving other people. And I'm going to give you this bracelet to remind you. What's it say on there?
Jesus loves you.
Jesus loves you.
It has a heart.
It's got a heart on it. Jesus hearts you. Okay. That will...
What's the blue one?
The blue one says something different. I just got the blue ones in case I had more children. And I would have to use those. That says stick to your faith. But I like the Jesus loves you, because that's the message today. That God loves us so much, and God gives us stuff like the whole world and like our parents and like our friends.
Jesus
loves us, and the way we show we love Jesus is by loving one another. And that bracelet will remind you to love other people. And you'll hear more about that in Sunday school. So off you go to Sunday school.
Can you keep the right?
Yes, you can. That's for you. Jesus loves the little children, all the children of the world. Red, brown, yellow, black, and white, they are precious in his sight. Jesus loves the little children of the world.
A reading from Acts. Now the apostles and the believers who were in Judea heard that the Gentiles had also accepted the word of God. So when Peter went up to Jerusalem, the circumcised believers criticized him, saying, "Why do you go to uncircumcised men and eat with them?" Then Peter began to explain it to them step by step, saying, "I was in the city of Joppa praying, and in a trance I saw a vision. There was something like a large sheet coming down from heaven, being lowered by its four corners, and it came close to me. As I looked at it closely, I saw four-footed animals beasts of prey, reptiles, and birds of the air. I also heard a voice saying to me, "Get up, Peter, kill and eat." But I replied, "By no means, Lord, for nothing profane or unclean has ever entered my mouth." But a second time the voice answered from heaven, "What God has made clean, you must not call profane." This happened three times. Then everything was pulled up again to heaven. At that moment, three men sent to me from Caesarea arrived at the house where we were. The Spirit told me to go with them and not to make a distinction between them and us. These six brothers also accompanied me, and we entered the man's house. He told us how he had seen the angel standing in his house and saying, "Send to Joppa and bring Simon, who is called Peter. He will give you a message by which you and your entire household will be saved." And as I began to speak, the Holy Spirit fell upon them, just as it had upon us at the beginning. And I remembered the word of the Lord, how he had said, "John baptized with water, but you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit." If then God gave them the same gift that he gave us when we believed in the Lord Jesus Christ, who was I that I could hinder God? When they heard this, they were silenced, and they praised God, saying, "Then God has given even to the Gentiles the repentance that leads to life." Word of God, word of life.
Thanks be to God.
Let us recite Psalm 148 responsibly. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord from the heavens. Praise the God in the heights.
Praise the Lord, all you angels. Sing praise, all you hosts of heaven.
Praise the Lord, sun and moon. Sing praise, all you shining stars.
Praise the Lord, heaven of heavens, and you waters above the heavens.
Let them praise the name of the Lord, who commanded and they were created.
Who made them to stand fast forever and ever, giving them shall not pass away.
Praise the Lord from the earth, you sea monsters and all deeps.
Fire and hail, snow and fog, tempestuous winds do we God's will.
Mountains and all hills, fruit trees and all cedars.
Wild beasts and all cattle, creeping things and flying birds.
Sovereigns of the earth and all peoples, princes and all rulers of the world.
Young men and maidens, old and young together.
Let them praise the name of the Lord, whose name only is exalted, whose splendor is over earth and heaven.
The Lord has raised up strength for the people and praise for all faithful servants, the children of Israel, a people who are near the Lord. Hallelujah.
Glory to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen. A reading from Revelation. I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth had passed away, and the sea was no more. And I saw the holy city, the new Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, "See, the home of God is among mortals. He will dwell with them. They will be his peoples, and God himself will be with them. He will wipe every tear from their eyes. Death will be no more. Mourning and crying and pain will be no more. For the first things have passed away." And the one who was seated on the throne said, "See, I am making all things new." Also he said, "Write this, for these words are trustworthy and true." Then he said to me, "It is done. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. To the thirsty I will give water as a gift from the spring of the water of life." Word of God, word of life.
Thank you.
The Holy Gospel according to John.
Glory to you, O Lord.
When he had gone out, Jesus said, "Now the Son of Man has been glorified, and God has been glorified in him. If God has been glorified in him, God will also glorify him in himself, and will glorify him at once. Little children, I am with you only a little longer. You will look for me, and as I have said to the Jews, so now I say to you, where I am going, you cannot come. I give you a new commandment, that you love one another. Just as I have loved you, you also should love one another. Everyone will know that you are my disciples, if you have love for one another." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
I saw the holy city, a new Jerusalem, coming down from the heaven of God, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. Every wedding that I've ever been privileged to witness has been a special wedding. I remember different things about all those weddings that I've had. I remember the drunk bridesmaid. It was pretty serious. I remember the one where the groom was so emotional that as he turned and saw his bride coming down the aisle, he started to cry. And he cried through the whole ceremony. He never stopped crying. He was just so, and I don't think it was because he was sad. He was just so overcome with emotion. I remember the one where the chancel had steps on the backside, and it was kind of like a thrust stage, so it had three steps in the front, three steps in the back. And the aunt was trying to sneak some candid pictures during the wedding ceremony, and she backed off the step twice. Really caused a little bit too much of a commotion to be catching a candid one. One couple, this was in South Dakota, one couple asked if they could, they really wanted to ride their motorcycles down the aisle to the altar, but they knew that that was pushing it a little too far, but they wanted to ride their motorcycles through the narthex in one day, in one door, and this church had the baptism font in the center in the narthex, and they wanted to ride in around the baptism font and go out the other door. They could have had an outdoor wedding where I think that might have worked a little bit, but in those days, outdoor weddings were not allowed. This passage from the book of Revelation reminds me mostly, though, of Tom and Jonna's wedding. Jonna was born with muscular dystrophy, and by the time she was 5 years old, she had moved from her little rural community, not even sure where she was from, but into Sioux Falls, into the big city, and she lived at the Crippled Children's Hospital and School from the time she was 5 years old. It was there that she met Tom, who had a different kind of disease, but was also living with the use of a wheelchair, or mobile through the use of a wheelchair. They never dated, but through the years, and I think part of it was that Jonna's kind of muscular dystrophy, the life expectancy was early teens, and as she outlived each prognosis, getting older, they decided that they would get married when they were in their mid-20s. And they had grown up together. They were best friends before they had decided to get married. And they chose this passage from the book of Revelation for their wedding text because choosing a wedding dress was a way that they were just thumbing their nose at all of those doctors' prognosis concerning her health and her life. And I remember saying to Tom, you know, this could be, you know, your bride is, your future bride is not going to live very long. And he said, we don't know that. He said, you could walk out the door and get hit by a truck, and you wouldn't live very long. So take the risk. Love the risk. And so they chose this passage, the bride, prepared as a bride, adorned for her husband. But what John is talking about here is not the work of a wedding dress shopper. This is God's work, and God is doing it. God is making all things new. Some people say they don't like change, but I don't believe that. I think that we get tired very easily of the ordinary in life. Our society encourages us to constantly be on the lookout for something new, something exciting, the next best thing. We want to be entertained by life and have the latest of everything. New clothes, upgraded electronics, the latest look. We are too often taken in by the advertisements that insist this is really new and you can't live without it. We certainly do live in times of rapid change. Do you know the name Buckminster Fuller? You ever heard that person? In the early 80s, this futurist inventor figured out how long it would take for the body of knowledge to double. So he went to the year one, figured out how much people knew then or could know, and he figured that it took 1,500 years for that body of knowledge to double. The next doubling took 250 years. Then by 1900, it only took 150 years. In 2017, which was the latest date I could find for his predictions, in 2017, the doubling of knowledge, the whole body of knowledge, took 12 hours. What do you think it is right now? I don't know, but if in 2017 it took 12 hours for the body of knowledge, there's a lot of stuff I don't know. And I'm sure that there's a lot of stuff that collectively we don't know. But 12 hours for the body of knowledge to double, all things being made new. Imagine. The readings today make precisely this claim. This is really new. We can't live without it. But to be clear, the biblical writers are not talking about something that's merely new and improved, only to be replaced tomorrow. When they speak of a new heaven and a new earth, a new Jerusalem, a new commandment, they're referring to something that God is doing. God is giving us something new. God promises this new, beautiful world where the old ways and old sorrows are passing away. God's saving, healing, changing world is now. See, God says, I am making all things new. But probably the most challenging passage that, or line, verse that we heard in Scripture today is that last line from the passage of John's Gospel. By this, everyone will know that you are my disciples if you have love for one another. Now, Jesus could have been a little easier on us. Jesus could have said, they will know you are my disciples if you live humbly enough, or if you pray long enough, or if you take care of the poor enough. But Jesus makes this command about loving one another. And he says, this is the new commandment. love one another. Well, if you've read your Bible, you know that Jesus didn't make that up. That wasn't new. That was in the Old Testament, thousands and thousands of years before Jesus said a new commandment. It says, love your enemies. Love your neighbor as yourself. It says to love the alien and the stranger among us. Love is the greatest commandment. So what's new is that about Jesus telling his disciples in this farewell discourse the night before he was arrested, the night before he died, Jesus adds a qualifier to this old familiar commandment to love one another. Jesus tells his disciples, love one another as I have loved you. How does Jesus love? And how would you follow that example? That's the new commandment. Well, you would do what Jesus did. You would take that love and spread it around. Spread it to everyone. No exclusions. No exceptions. No excuses. Love everyone. And Jesus meant it. These are some very famous last words. Did you ever notice this when somebody comes to visit you, family from out of town, and they spend a weekend, and you start saying goodbye, and you're in the living room, and you start saying goodbye, and then pretty soon you're at the front door, and you're still saying goodbye. And then you're out in the parking, or the driveway, and you're still saying goodbye. Then they get in the car, and you're waving them goodbye. You're still saying goodbye. That goodbye continues. I think the truest words are said in those moments of goodbyes. Goodbye, and I love you. Please come again. Jesus spoke these true words to his disciples on the night before his death. Love one another. That's the mark of true discipleship. And Jesus knew how difficult this would be, because Jesus loves each of us. And I don't know, maybe it's not true for you, but I am not always very lovable. And Jesus loves us all the time. No excuses, no exclusions, no exceptions. And then Jesus says, and that's how you ought love one another. Sometimes we're so busy with the old stuff, with our ordinary life, that we forget this new part of the commandment that Jesus gave us. He tells his disciples and us about agape. Not an emotional, romantic kind of love, that the kind of love that caused that groom to cry through his whole ceremony, but the agape love. Agape love is not romantic kind of love. It's the kind of love that we put into action. It's a love that we see rather than feel. It requires a total commitment and trust. It's the kind of love that God loves us. That's the new kind of love. The kind of love that Jesus had for the disciples. Love one another as I have loved you. No exceptions, no exclusions, no excuses. This is the new kind of love that Jesus holds out to us. It requires us to open doors that we have closed against others. It requires us to respond to those who cry out for our help. It requires us to forgive the sins and the mistakes that others have made against us. This love opens our eyes to the facts that we might otherwise overlook. That the poor belong in our family. That those who live in despair might be saved by our care for them, that peace in the world can come through our efforts. By this, everyone will know that you are my disciples if you have love for one another. We can get like Peter, who was when we forget this new commandment. We can get so preoccupied with the details that we sometimes lose sight of the bigger picture, so wrapped up with everything that's wrong with the world that we don't do anything to make it right. We can't even see the new that God is doing. Peter dreamed of that sheet descending, filled with beasts and birds and reptiles, animals that were forbidden food for the religious person, at God's command to kill and eat. Peter stammers something about being politically correct, or more to the point, religiously correct. But the Holy Spirit says it's time for something new. That doesn't matter. What does matter to God is not barriers, not distinctions, not borders, not even church rules. What really matters to God is love. I give you a new commandment, that you love one another just as I have loved you. You should love one another. See, God says, I'm making all things new. All things are being made new, and that includes you. You are being made new. I'm being made to new. And we can thank God for that promise, that we're not stuck in the old, because God is making it new in us. Thanks be to God for this promise. All the scubalon of our messy world will be made new. All the broken will be made whole. All the pain and death will be taken away. All the ugliness of this life will be as beautiful as a bride prepared, adorned for her husband. My young friends, Jonah and Tom, had a beautiful wedding that May. I was the only one who wasn't in a wheelchair, but there were a few others. Her dress was beautiful, adorned for her husband. Just 3 months later, she was again in that wedding dress at her funeral. And again, we read the same passage from the book of Revelation, focusing not on verse 2, a bride adorned for her husband, but on verse 4. God will wipe every tear from their eyes. Death will be no more. Mourning and crying and pain will be no more, for the first things have passed away. And we all heard that as good news. The good news is that God is with us. Good news is that God is making all things new. The good news is that we are loved and included and bound to God through Jesus Christ forever. Amen.